all that we want out of this. I tell you, I just feel there's a significance to these next 2 years on the horizon, and I believe there's significance to this fast. I feel it every year, but I've just felt a special brooding of the Spirit of God over us. And this one song just has been haunting me for the last week now, and it's by Misty Edwards and David Bremer, is that his name? I won't sing it, but it says, "You won't relent until you have it all." You know who that? You know what that song is? Anybody know that? Yeah, "You won't relent until you have it all," and that's what I've been feeling the Spirit of God just brooding over us. Man, you think about that. That is a scary verse. God is after all of us, and He will not relent. And what we need to do in this fast is side with God against ourselves and say, "God, sick them. Lord, whatever you got to do, go after those things in my heart that are not surrendered to you. God, unearth them, uproot them, expose them." Some of you tonight, you have things in your life that you know are contrary to the will of God. And I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God is after that. And if you go into intense fasting without repentance, you go into intense fasting and being unwilling to deal with that, you are walking on dangerous, dangerous ground. Repent before you fast. Do not go into extended fastings and intercession and embrace your sin and say, "Well, God, you can have everything but this." You are going to get yourself into one deep web of deception. Seriously. You have got to be open to the dealings of God. If you are not open, don't go on extended fasts. And I've seen people do that and just get whacked. You've got to stay open to the Spirit of God and allow Him to speak to you. But God is after those things in our life. What I want to look at is three things that God is after. I want to camp out on one of them. What God is after, first, He wants to deal with the sinful actions in our lives. Those actions. Some of you tonight, when I say that, you know right away those things come to mind. Some of you are struggling with certain things, and you know right away. Others of you, you're thinking, "Well, I'm not sure." Some of you, it's gossip and slander. We need to be careful in talking about other believers in a way that will cast a cloud over their character. Doesn't matter what they've said about us. Doesn't matter what they've done to us. That's not our job to cast dispersions on their character. You let God deal with them. But we will bring the displeasure of God on our life. He'll lift His Spirit, at least in measure, if we partake in that stuff. God's after those sinful actions. But underneath that, and some of you, you say, "Well, you know, I'm living clean. I'm not out acting. I'm not out doing wrong things." You might struggle here and there with something, or you know, but by and large, you're doing the right things. But God's still after something. He's after the underlying attitudes. And too often, we deal with actions and we think we're okay. But God wants to deal with the attitudes of our heart, out of which wrong actions will eventually grow out of those things. And God is after our heart. If you look in the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount, once again, Jesus, He said, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if you look lustfully upon a woman in your heart, you have already committed adultery." Jesus was after the secret thoughts of their heart. See, the New Testament is not easier than the Old Testament. Remember years ago when I was working at Teen Challenge, we used to have the house crew, it was called. And the guys were in charge of cleaning the whole place. There's a lot of toilets at Teen Challenge. There's a lot of cleaning. And this one guy was in charge of that. And I asked him how it was going, and he said, "Well..." He said, "It's doing okay." He said, "For the first week, I give them grace, but after that, it's law. I drop the hammer on them." And I said, "Well, why don't you do it like God does?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Why don't you give them law first and then grace?" And he stood back. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm not sure. Let me think about that." I'd never really thought about it. It just struck me when he said that. And see, the reason we think in those terms, grace is easier than law, because we don't really understand what God is after under grace. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "You have heard it said." He's referring to what Moses said under the law. "The law said unto you, don't do these things. Don't act out. Don't do the externals. But I say unto you, I am going after your heart. Do not think about it." The law says don't murder. "But I say unto you, don't hate someone in your heart. You've already committed murder." Jesus is after our heart. He wants the attitudes of our heart. Now, the wonderful thing is, and this is where that concept of grace comes in, is the grace of God strengthens us and enables us to say no to sin. There is freedom from sin. Let me just get off on a little pet peeve, okay, just for a second.